introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
All right. Welcome back to our One A Day Draft series. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And we called an audible tonight. QB1 is out. Wide receiver 1 is up. We figured, you know, I'm using Miles in the promos for all this. Got to get him in, off the bench, in the game. Going to talk to us tonight. Miles, back from vacation. How you doing? How you been?
Good, man. Coming off the bench is kind of what I do. So that's a perfect spot for me.
Boom. Coming in ready. Coming in gunning. So we got Miles here. And obviously, when Miles comes in, generally we're talking about the skill position players, the players who are far away from the trenches where we got this thing started. So, you know, wide receiver 1, we're going to start right off here with wide receivers. I figure that's just fitting. Makes some sense. And as we get into this thing, wide receiver is often a very polarizing subject, especially as you look at draft Twitter this year. Rankings are all over the place. Some people, I've seen a lot of steam lately for Hakeem Butler as wide receiver 1. People are going to the mat for DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Keneal Harry. Like, people are all over the place. I saw some top 5 rankings that Hunter Renfrew in them earlier today, which was like, wow.
What?
Yeah, man.
I love Hunter Renfrew too, and you know that, but top 5. What?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. So folks are really all over the place. You played the position at a higher level than most. So when you're looking at, you know, some film to really decide how you are going to start to rank wide receivers, what are you actually looking at? Because there seems to be a lot of confusion about what is actually important when people talk about, you know, quote unquote traits for a wide receiver.
Yeah. So for me, what I like to start with, I like to just kind of see how a guy works out the line of scrimmage. What's their first move? What are they seeing? Are they recognizing coverages? Obviously the biggest part is, the ability off the line of scrimmage. What's the first move they make? How they make it? Is there a false step in there? Some of those small little details, they matter, especially when you get to the NFL level and you're going up against guys like Patrick Peterson and, you know, formerly, you know, Darrell Revis, guys like that, Xavier Rhodes, you know, some of the better players and some of the better athletes in the world. It takes a lot to beat some of those guys off the line of scrimmage. So that's stuff I look for. I look for physicality. I look for how they recognize coverages. Can they process quickly? Because a lot happens in a matter of seconds. Just like, you know, most other positions, something's always changing. Things are always changing as the play is going on. So being able to read and recognize plays on the fly, it takes a lot, especially when for some of these guys are moving so fast. Those are some key things for me, and then also obviously the route running. I just think that's the biggest trait I look for when I'm scouting receivers is how are these guys in and out of breaks? How are they? What are they doing to set up the defensive backs to gain and win leverage, to manipulate hips and feet so that they're getting themselves open? It's extremely important. Creating as much separation as possible is a way that you need to win. That's plain and simple. Like you just need to make sure that what you do is, however you can win. Some guys use physicality, some guys use feet. For me at the end of the day though, it really is, about the footwork. Cause I think that's more important than physicality, just because I think if you can get a guy, if you can keep a guy away from you, in press coverage, and you can, like I said, manipulate hips and feet, you're gonna go a long way, and you should probably you'll probably have a successful career.
So one of the things you mentioned there is kind of false steps and other things that maybe just because the player that you're looking at is a superior athlete might work for them in college, but maybe not in the pros. Could you break down a little bit more for someone who just really doesn't know? What does that mean? And what are some of the things that, you know, maybe you'll see someone and they're winning and they're getting a lot of space and they're doing some things that, you know, will work for them in college, but maybe as they transition into the pro game, those sorts of things or those sorts of habits won't follow them there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is it's really about, so when you line up as a receiver, it doesn't matter whether you're out wide or in the slot. I was always taught inside foot forward, but it doesn't really matter. I think I mean, it technically does matter depending on what the route concepts are and if it's a timing route, if you need to go off of a certain amount of steps, stuff like that. But we don't really need to get into too much of that. But what I do is I focus on the feet and I focus on that first step. The first step from your front foot should be the first step going forward. So, or lift it up. So when I say that, you're leaning forward, I was always taught to kind of curl your toes because that helps kind of lean you forward a little bit more so that you're not taking that false step. You're not taking an extra stutter step. So it takes a lot of nuance, a lot of work, but that's something I always keep my eye on. What is the guy's first, what is the receiver's first step off the line of scrimmage? And and if it's against press coverage, how are they winning against press coverage with their feet? Because yes, you need strong hands, you need quick hands to beat press coverage. But at the end of the day, what you need to be able to do is to win with your feet, because that's how you're going to get guys to lunge and reach, or that's how you're going to get guys to second guess themselves or guess in general, because it's a mind game. That's really what it is at the line of scrimmage. So I'm keeping an eye on how they're winning off the line of scrimmage. And those false steps really do matter, because if you're taking a false step, that's a split second longer that it's going to take you to get in and out of your breaks or get to your depth for whatever route you're being asked to run.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, you know, it's your first time here in the hot seat. So I'm just going to run you and everyone else who should have been following along to date, but if not, just quick synopsis of what's about to go down here. Miles is going to give us his favorite handful of players. So, you know, 2, 3, however he really feels like giving us here. But he's going quick. He's on a clock for day one. A little bit of analysis on those, day two. And then the players we should be looking at later on in the draft. So, Miles, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, day one. And this is where I'm really interested to get your takes, because, like I said, as I'm really starting to get into the draft stuff now and starting to listen to more Dynasty podcasts and all these things, it really seems like there isn't a strong consensus this year. Everyone is all over the place. So I'm very interested. Who are your favorite wide receivers on day one in this draft and why?
Yeah. So I'm going to start real quick. My overall view of this wide receiver class, I don't view it as extremely top heavy. I really struggle with seeing more than 2, maybe 3 receivers going in the first round, especially in the top 15 for me. I wouldn't take any of these receivers in the top 15. That's just my opinion. I think there are some round one capable wide receivers, and I'm sure that'll be more than what I'll tell you what I believe that should go in on day one. But I think this is an extremely deep wide receiver class. As you get into the middle rounds, you know, 3, 4, 5, I think you're going to find a lot of talent there. That's not as far off from the day one and day two talent. But I'll start on day one. I really only have 2 wide receivers right now that I believe are day one players. I'll start with my top wide receiver is Hakeem Butler. His height, weight, speed. The guy's an athletic freak. I don't think he's quite on the level of a prospect, but when you look at his skill set, body style, athleticism, he's got some AJ Green to him. I know I've talked with JR about this. He's definitely not that fluid of an athlete as what AJ Green was and is when he was coming out of Georgia, but he definitely has a similar skill set to him. I think the concentration and drops are a little bit more of a concern than it obviously was for AJ Green. AJ Green was one of the checked like almost every box you could ask for as a receiving prospect, but Hakeem Butler's up there. I think he's a really good athlete who he's, like I said, not as fluid, but he's a guy that wins with his size, wins with his long arms. I like to call him an accuracy racer because his arms are so long that, you know, even some off-target throws, he finds a way to get his hands on him. So sometimes I think some of the drops that he got accounted for were more of bad passes that most receivers aren't getting their hands on, that his ability to get his hands on them, but sometimes he wasn't able to corral in. But that's kind of where I see him. He's my top rated receiver. I don't see a top 15 receiver in this class, but I believe he's a day one wide receiver for sure. Number two for me is AJ Brown, actually. I know it's going to surprise some people. It's not his teammate at Ole Miss. It's, for me, it's AJ Brown. I just think he does a little bit of everything extremely well. He works from the slot, works from the outside. He's physical. He's not afraid to go across the middle and catch the ball away from his body. Strong hands. He's a playmaker with the ball in his hands too. Can run. Can work in the screen game as well as in the intermediate routes. Struggles a little bit downfield. I'm a little concerned to see how he'll do winning, you know, past 10 to 15 yards at the NFL level. Not because he's slow, because we saw his testing numbers were not slow by any means, but his play style and his big, and he's like a big broad receiver. I'm just curious to see how he'll win at the next level, because I really feel like a lot of people are going to put him in that slot position, which I have no problem with, but he's that kind of guy that's going to win in the short and intermediate routes, I think, better than he is downfield. But he's definitely one of those guys that I think you could plug into and be a day one starter. I think he's one of those guys that I think he could play on the outside at the next level, but I see a lot of teams that are going to – I would be surprised if teams viewed him as more of a slot.
Okay, I love that. And I guess I'm not surprised generally, just because of the way that you generally do your analysis when you're looking at the wide receiver position. You tend to be a little bit more critical, I think, a little bit less optimistic when kind of projecting a class. And so I guess it's not overly surprising with a class that has as many questions and lack of consensus for you to only have two on day one that you would be choosing there. So as we get in, you said it's a deep class. We're getting to day two. Give me a couple people that you love on day two.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got to throw DK Metcalf in there. I mean, like I said, as a day one prospect, I have concerns just because I think there's a lot left there. I think there's a lot of risk you're taking. He has the highest upside of any receiver in this class. I don't think it's close. I mean, the guy's a physical freak. He's literally that word as a prospect. He's a freak. But there's some things that are kind of holding him back. Injuries are a major concern for him. He's, you know, missed. He's had two season ending injuries, a foot injury and a neck injury last year. I'm concerned with how big he's gotten and how big he might continue to get, unless they want to just make him some big slot tight end, whatever, because of his athleticism. But if they want to keep him on the outside, I struggle with him being like a 235, 240 pound receiver. I don't think he weighed in at that, but he was a little over 230, I think, at the combine. He just looked a little bit too big for me. And I think you could tell in his workouts, especially some of the drills like the three cone, where he was historically bad, tested historically bad at the combine in the three cone. I think it was because of some of the size that he gained while he was hurt. He obviously was in the weight room a lot. I think they said his body fat was something extremely low. And like I said, he's one of those guys, though. I think he does everything extremely well. He's explosive. He's physical. Catches the ball away from his body. But the production just wasn't there. Obviously, injuries derailed some of that. But I also think that they viewed AJ Brown as their number one receiver, and it showed. It showed in the way they what they had for their pecking order in terms of who they went to. But so I'm curious. I struggle with people who view him as the top, you know, 10, 15 prospect. As do you really believe that he could step in day one and lead your team and be your top receiver on an NFL or on an NFL team when he's never done it? And when you know when you draft a guy that high, that's the expectation. The expectation is for them to come in and be a wide receiver one right away and dominate, as you would say. So I struggle seeing that right away. I struggle with putting that expectations on him. But on day two, I'd take him in a heartbeat. I think he's one of those guys that really has a chance to be really good. I just kind of pointed out some of the concerns that make me worry about a day one prospect. Another guy that I really like, Deebo Samuel. He's kind of in that A.J. Brown mold in terms of what I view him as being asked to do at the next level. He's probably going to be more viewed as a slot receiver. He's you know, a really good route runner. We saw at the Senior Bowl, he killed it. I think he was probably the best wide receiver at the Senior Bowl that week. I think he's electric with the ball in his hands, extremely good in short area quickness, and has really good build-up speed. Where I'm concerned with him, though, is him winning downfield is kind of a worry for me. I think that I view him more as an interior slot receiver who isn't asked to win downfield a lot, which I have no problem with. But I think that's kind of a concern of mine for him. And then obviously injuries. I think he's battled quite a bit of injuries throughout his career to date. So I think that's something to worry about. My next receiver is one of my favorite receivers in this class. I think everybody's kind of caught on to it now, but Terry McLaurin from Ohio State. I think he's definitely one of those guys that got overshadowed playing in an offense with that spreads the ball around a lot, that does a lot of different things. He was consistent though, and in his senior year he had 11 touchdowns. He's a detailed route runner. He has elite speed. I think he can play inside and outside. And then an important thing that I think teams are really going to value is the fact that he's a special teams contributor. So he's a guy that can come in and be work on all phases of the special teams. He can be a punt gunner. He can work down on kickoff. Probably could return some kicks and punts too. I don't think he's asked to do that too much at Ohio State, but I think it's something he's capable of doing. He can be a body catcher at times, which can kind of be a concern when you're trying to create separation against NFL cornerbacks if you're not willing to go get the ball away from your body. Doesn't win in the short area as much as I'd like him to. For someone as fast as he is, I think he kind of has some of that sprinter strides in him. He's got the longer strides, so I'd like to see him be able to work a little bit better in the short area. And then obviously the limited production was kind of the other factor there that kind of pushes him down a little bit, because he's not to me viewed as an upside, a wide receiver one upside. He's more viewed as having a chance to be a wide receiver two, wide receiver three. That's kind of the range I have him at. So I think that's kind of what pushed him down for me a little bit too. And then the last two guys for me, N'Keal Harry. I know you had mentioned him earlier, Jason. He's a guy who's fearless across the middle. He's a playmaker with the ball in his hands. And he does a good job of using his physicality to kind of create some leverage. But like some of these other guys, like an A.J. Brown or a Deebo Samuel, can he win downfield? He wasn't really asked to do that very often. He ran a lot of screens, a lot of sweeps, end around, stuff like that. They used him as their do-it-all playmaker, which I have no issue with. But I need to know if you're drafting him to be your outside X receiver, he's 6'2", 220, can he win? Can he win downfield? He tested mid-4.5s, which I think is a really good time for him, but it's just something that on tape you don't really see very often. So that's kind of his concern for me. And just the fact that he was asked to run a lot of screens and quick throws just kind of makes you want to – makes you looking for more. When you watch his film, I just want to see if he can do a little bit more. You know, would have liked to be able to see if he could go do things like the Senior Bowl, but obviously not as an underclassman, but stuff like that. But I really like his upside. I think if he can prove that he can win off the line of scrimmage as like an outside X receiver and not being pigeonholed into that slot position, I think he does have some really good upside. And my last guy that I'll pinpoint on day two that I really like. I called him, I think he's the best route runner in this draft class, Stanley Morgan Jr. from Nebraska. He could play inside and outside. I think he does extremely well using his leverage and his footwork to win off the line of scrimmage and to win in and out of routes. Catches the ball away from his body. But at the same time, I think he's one of those guys where he does a good job of understanding when to use his body to catch passes across the middle, which he's fearless of doing. It, you know, I love watching a guy who's not afraid to go across the middle and make tough catches, which he does. And then he's pretty good in jump ball situations for a guy that's a little over 6 foot. I liken him a little bit to a Davante Adams light. Not sure if he's not quite the run after catch player Davante Adams is, but I think his route running ability and his ability to win and ability to play inside and outside is one of those that's really intriguing for me.
Boy. What's funny there is that a lot of the people that you, like a guy like N'Keal Harry, I've seen some people say that he's the wide receiver one in this whole class. So to have you with him on day two just kind of speaks to how wide the opinions are on the players in this class. But yeah, day three, moving this thing along here. Give me your favorite sleepers, I guess, the people that you think maybe could come in at the very end of a draft and do some things, maybe turn into something, defy the odds and become another Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen for your team.
Yeah, definitely. I think Antoine Wesley from – I'll keep this one pretty quick. I know I kind of got going there, but Antoine Wesley from Texas Tech, he's a 6'4", 210-pound receiver. He's extremely fast, runs pretty good routes, catches the ball away from his body extremely well. You don't see very many drops from him at all. But he only had 1 year of production, so that's something that worries me a little bit, and I'm sure that'll drop him down. But he's a guy with some really good upside. Keelan Doss from UC Davis. I've seen some people call him Keenan Allen, or they've compared him to Keenan Allen. You know, that's my guy, so you know that kind of puts a spotlight on him for me. But I did like his ability to win, his route running and his soft hands and catch radius. He was the kind of the did it all for UC Davis in that offense. I like him a lot. I think he might need to be a primary slot receiver at the next level. He's 6'2", another 6'2", 215 type of receiver, but I think his footwork's extremely detailed, and he's a guy that I like a lot, but I worry about his downfield ability as well. DeMarcus Lodge from Ole Miss. I think I've named all the Ole Miss receivers now, but DeMarcus Lodge, he's just one of those guys that tracks the ball extremely well. He's another one of the guys that got overshadowed because of his teammates, but really good awareness around the sidelines and runs really good routes. So he's a guy I like on day three as well. And then lastly, Darius Slayton from Auburn. He's a downfield speed threat. He's one of those guys that, you know, just ask him to run deep posts, deep curl routes, deep in routes, stuff like that, go routes. He's that kind of guy that you just want to help loosen up the defense a little bit, and he's your guy. There's some drop concerns a little bit, but and he could use some work on his route running, but I do like that he can win at all three levels because of his speed and because of the things he was asked to do. He's good after the catch. So those are a few guys in day three I really like. And then I'll just talk about a few UDFAs I like. I won't even go to detail, but just some names. I think Penny Hart, I think him not getting invited to the combine was kind of telling. I wouldn't be surprised if he got drafted. I believe he should, but he's a guy to keep an eye on late in the draft. Jeff Smith is a guy I've talked about from Boston College, former quarterback. They said he ran a sub 4.2 at his pro day. He's a guy that I think could come in and be some help on special teams and could be kind of a gadget player or a practice squad kind of guy. Last two, DeAndre Tompkins from Penn State. I don't think I've heard anybody talk about him. He's a guy that I believe could come in and be a special teams. He's a really good punt returner, and I think he could come in and be a potential practice squad type of player year one and maybe work his way into the field at some point. And then Andre Wilson from UAB. He's a smooth athlete. I thought he ran really detailed and really good routes. But he's a guy that I don't think many people know about, but didn't run the fastest 40. He's not the fastest guy, but he's pretty quick. So I like some of those guys as UDFAs.
Boom. Well, there we go. Miles coming in day one, giving us not just names on day one, day two, and day three, giving us UDFAs to be looking out for as well. That's why you are who you are. Miles, thank you very much. Coming on, recording with me today. Keeping this thing going with the One A Day Draft Series. And as we've mentioned on most, if not all of the other episodes, make sure that you go and cop JR's draft guide. It's going to be dropping soon, and it is going to be outstanding. But that's it. That's all. Thanks for sticking with us. And yeah, we'll have another one of these for you tomorrow. Have a good one.